raise your hand if it is your first time here? Yeah, I thought I recognized everyone in here through the glare of the lights. So some of y'all that are way in the way back there, it's a little dark. I can't see you, but I love you, and I can, you know, whatever. So turn in your Bibles. Listen, I'm pretty casual. My name is Pastor Steve. I'm a pretty casual guy. So sorry if object study. What's that? Is that the name of the message tonight? I like that. I'll go with it. It's called object study. It has nothing to do with the message tonight. But turn in your Bibles, very beginning, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And just hang out there for a second. I want to talk to you about something that I believe is foundational. Well, let me not even say it that way. It is foundational to the Christian church and to the body of Christ across the nation. I know that Christ is the foundation of our beliefs, but without the Old Testament, we actually wouldn't know a whole lot about who Christ is. Believe it or not, right? We know a lot about Christ through the New Testament, but the Old Testament, from the moment we start talking about in the beginning, because actually in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word. There was a Word that was spoken in the beginning that set life into motion. And there's a Word that exists in your hand right now, whether it be a digital phone or the Bible. The Word carries through from the moment the Bible starts to the moment the Bible ends. There's something called the scarlet cord that goes all the way through the Bible, and it is the blood of Christ that we can see from beginning to end. Jesus is as much a part of the Old Testament as he is the New Testament. But right now, the Old Testament is a little bit under attack by the enemy. Anyone heard anything recently that you've heard the Old Testament being under attack? No? Yes? Okay. For those of you who haven't, I want to set a foundation for you so that when you hear it, you'll understand what's going on. So everyone know who Hillsong Church is? Okay, we do a lot of Hillsong music here. I would say at least 50% of songs that are done throughout churches across the world are Hillsong songs. To give you a frame of reference, Darlene Sheck wrote the song, Shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. You all know it, right? Still sung 250,000 times every Sunday morning across the world. It's insane. It's amazing. Okay, but right now, the worship pastor, Joel Houston, just tweeted something that I want to read to you about a week ago. He said, evolution is undeniable. Okay? Evolution is undeniable. Created by God as a reflective means of displaying nature's pattern of renewal and pursuance of God's word. An ode to the nature of the creative God it reflects. And only ever in part, not the source, science and faith aren't at odds. God created the Big Bang. Now, let me just let that sink in for 1 second. This was a response to a song called So Will I, a billion times is the name of the song. It's on the radio all the time. The word evolution is found in that song. It's the reason we don't do it here at this church. Now, the argument was, well, you know what? Let me read his argument, because he came back to it, so don't check out just yet. But he came back. He said, in context, things evolve. They change and adapt. I don't believe in evolution as a theory of source. I believe it is merely a pattern of nature created by God, reflecting nature's desire for renewal, survival, new life, something, someone like God. He also said, I think what gets lost, strangely enough, in any case, the word comes before any kind of big bang. Let there be light. Boom. And there was. When asked if he believes in the Big Bang theory or the literal six-day creation, Houston said, it means I believe God created everything and his word came first. By the way, he skirted that answer, I'm just going to say. All right. He further clarified his beliefs on whether man evolved from an ape by saying, I believe God created humanity out of the dust and breathed his breath and spirit into us. Now, once I've gotten through all that, I think many of us can come into agreement with some of the things he said, correct? By the time we get to the end, he said, God created man, breathed life into dust. Here's the problem. With this particular thing, he used a 280-character social media application to post something pretty quickly, right? He did not think through what he said. He didn't think through it. The lesson to learn here, first of all, is we have a following. All of us on this planet right now have a following. Whether it's 5 people, 500 people, 5 million people, we have a following. And it is very careful that we watch what words we use to express the things that we believe. Because Joel Houston may not have gotten the opportunity to clarify what he said to everyone who read what he posted. And when your first words are evolution is undeniable and God created the Big Bang, I don't care if you're talking about let there be light, boom. The Bible never said there was a boom, so I don't know that I believe there was a Big Bang. Then, anyone know the name Andy Stanley? By the way, I asked Pastor Parkey if this was okay. He said, if those guys said it, it's okay. Andy Stanley, who is Charles Stanley's son, he is the pastor of the, North Point Community Church in Atlanta, Georgia. Let me read something to you. Here's what he said. First of all, he said we need to unhitch ourselves from the Old Testament. You can find this online. Unhitch ourselves from the Old Testament. Christianity isn't based on the Bible. Christianity is based on Christ. To the right ears, that sounds pretty good. To the right ears. Then he said, people are losing faith because of something in the Bible. Once they see something is not true in the Old Testament, their whole faith collapses. He said, because they were taught it's all true, it's all God's word, and if you find one part of it that's not true, the whole thing comes tumbling down. First of all, what has been found in the Old Testament to not be true? I've been studying this book since I was 11 years old. I have not found one thing that does not hold up to scrutiny. Not one. As a matter of fact, the Bible over the years has been the number one source for archaeological finds. Across the world, more things are found because of the Bible than any other source. The Bible is as much source history as any history book you will ever read or ever look at. It has been proven time and time and time and time again. So what that leads me to believe is there is one thing that he is talking about. The creation account. Why? Because as Christians, we have decided to cow to science. Now let me say something. I believe science and God go hand in hand. But real science goes hand in hand with God. Not theories, not concepts, not maybes, not this is how it could be, not this is how we think it was. Real science. Real science, gravity. Doesn't go against any laws in the Bible, right? Man came from ape. We got problems. Real science is fine, and it's great, and I love science. I think it explains a lot. But you know, when I was growing up, broccoli gave you cancer. My mom didn't let me eat broccoli, thank you, Jesus, for a long time. Because she thought it caused cancer. Aspartame caused cancer. Maybe still does, I don't know. But we're talking, you got to eat a truck full of broccoli in one sitting for it to have cancerous properties. I remember when margarine was better for you than butter and everyone was eating margarine. Now it's one ingredient away from plastic, right? Science has failed itself over and over and over and over again, but the Bible has never done so. I am one that I love science. If you've got a medical condition, take medicine. The Lord gave us brilliant means of doing things. But we got to get to a point where we go, what's real science and what's made up? Evolution is a theory. As a matter of fact, Bill Nye, the science person, because, like, for real, he's not a scientist, he recently said, the theory of evolution is fact. What? What? The theory of evolution. Those are his exact words. The theory of evolution is fact. We got to go back to English school for just a minute and find out what the word theory means and what the word fact means, because those don't cross each other and make any kind of sense. No reconciliation of those two words. The schools are teaching our children something that is totally fabricated and unable to be proven, validated in any way, shape, or form. But here's what's happening in the church. Let me, for one second, I hope this doesn't get, like, chopped up on the internet somewhere and, like, taken out of context. But for one second, let's make believe creation is a theory, okay? I don't believe it's a theory. I think God said it, I believe it, done, right? That's fair. I believe the Bible. If I believe any of the Bible, gotta believe it all. Otherwise, I make myself God. It's exactly what Andy Stanley was saying. Well, if all of it's gotta be right, then throw out the Old Testament. Okay, great, because you don't want to buy it. Let's just unhitch ourselves from it completely because it's become a stumbling block. But let's make believe creation is a theory. Evolution is a theory. Why am I gonna forfeit my beliefs in my theory for your theory? That's what the church is doing right now. We are doing all that we can. Now I'm saying we, okay, I'm putting myself, because we're a part of this body, this wonderful, amazing body, right? But this is dangerous stuff. When one of the leading pastors in America is telling people to just throw out the Old Testament, he actually said, the Old Testament, he uses scripture in the New Testament to try to prove that for Gentiles, the Old Testament doesn't matter anymore, and that a new thing has begun. And he says that whole grace thing that we find in the New Testament isn't found in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is a bunch of if you do's, I'll do's, and that doesn't look like grace. Let me ask, everyone, you ever heard of the harlot Rahab? Like, that sounded like grace to me, right? God giving Pharaoh 10 opportunities to get his junk together sounded like grace to me. God not wiping out the Israelites about 500,000 times sounded like grace to me. I can find a lot of grace in the Old Testament. Let's remember that the Old Testament is a selective history. The New Testament is a selective history. In the book of John, it says if we wrote out everything Jesus ever did, there wouldn't be room enough in the world to hold the books that would tell of the stories. You consider that for a second. I told the young adults the other day, like, make believe that they didn't know what the world was, right? Like, maybe they don't know how big the world really is. Fit books in this room with all the exploits that Jesus did. That'd be enough for me. I don't need the world. I don't need a small city. I don't need any. I need just fill this room with stuff. And that would be enough for me. Jesus, everywhere he went, he did things, right? The Old Testament, did you know that there's more history found in chapters 3, 4, and 5 of Genesis than the rest of the Old Testament combined? Genesis chapters 3, 4, and 5 covers 1,656 years of history. That's amazing. In 3 chapters. What does that tell you? A lot was left out. So when we start wondering where all the races came from, guess what? It's not all in there. This is not an exhaustive history of the world. This is also not a scientific document. Galileo said something that I thought was actually pretty brilliant. He said, I'm going to paraphrase this because I don't remember exactly what it was. He said, but the Bible doesn't tell us how the heavens were created, but it tells us how to get to heaven. That's a smart man that made deduction. Thank you. That's pretty smart. Because as Christians, we've fallen into this defense against science, defense against evolution, defense against the Big Bang Theory. We're just defending. And we need to defend our faith, but we need to know how to defend our faith. Because otherwise, we look like Neanderthals. We look like we don't have a clue what we're talking about and we're just blindly following. But guess what? This book can be proven over and over and over and over again. I've shared this before, but did you know that until 1990, the world didn't believe that there was a King David? There was no proof of a King David outside of the Bible. As a matter of fact, there was no proof that there were any kings before Solomon, based upon what the world believes. But in 1990, there was a placard found that said the House of David. And it had the date, and it had, they were able to prove the date is what I mean by that. And then the world went, oh, David's real. Guess what? Bible was proven in that moment. People are trying to disprove the Bible constantly in the silliest ways. I shared recently with our young adults that there was a guy, I can't remember his name, Barton, maybe? No, I don't know. I'm making that up. Barclay, there we go. Barclay wrote a whole book trying to prove that all the miracles could have been done. Every miracle found in the Bible, he's like, it could have been done naturally. So here's what he says. I'm going to give you one example because it's funny. The Red Sea wasn't split. As a matter of fact, it was actually the Sea of Reeds that was split. And during the right time of year, the Sea of Reeds is so shallow that if the wind blows just right, it'll only be ankle-deep water. I got a couple things for you, first of all. The Bible says that they went across on dry ground. And the Bible says that there were walls of water on each side. That does not sound like ankle-deep water, but check this out. Barclay made a huge mistake because he actually just made this more of a miracle than even it was in the Bible, because that means that he drowned the entire Egyptian army in ankle-deep water. You see how stupid the world makes themselves look when they try to contest what the Bible says? They desperately try, and they've desperately failed for years and years and years. So I want to start with the very simplest of questions. As believers, we believe the Bible, correct? What does the word Genesis mean? Beginning, okay? The title of the book Genesis is found in the first three words of the book of Genesis, in the beginning. That word beginning is Reseth. I'm not a Hebrew scholar. Don't, crucify me. I'm sorry. I don't know how to pronounce it exactly. But that word could mean a few things. It could mean beginning. It could mean first fruits. It could mean at some point in time. Okay? Always that some point in time is referred to at the beginning. Always. Okay? Genesis is about 3.5 thousand years old as a book. Older than most history we have, if not close to all history that we have. Yet, it still hasn't been proven false. Nothing in the Bible. Genesis specifically. It's the foundation for the rest of the Bible. See, I love the English language. If I could have been a teacher, I would have taught English. I just love English. So we have, in the Old Testament, we have the creator, which is the subject, who created, which is the verb, creation, which is the object. The entire first chapter talks about the creator who created creation. But the problem today is that when we don't know that God created, we question everything. Let me put that into different terms for you. Without God, there's no truth. Without God, there's no morality. Without God, there's barely reality. I've met plenty of people who question whether they're even here. Don't laugh, it's real. I've heard people question whether this is just some dream. They watch The Matrix too many times and they think that we're just a computer program. Let me tell you this, man. To believe that we're a computer program, to believe that we're an experiment by aliens, to believe anything, that is so extreme compared to simply believing there was a God. Those are insane concepts. To come up with a computer program. We're not The Sims. This is real life. It doesn't make sense to believe that. Ronnie Gonzalez said something last couple weeks, whenever he was here. He said, for the first time since bathrooms were invented, we are questioning what bathroom to use. It was a little bit of a joke, but the truth of it is, when we stopped believing God created us, we lost track of who we are, of what our purpose is. Forgive me if this hits home, but without God, you can shoot up a school or a theater and kill a bunch of people. And as long as you don't get caught and put in prison, what's the consequence? You want to know why we have such crazy things going on today? It's because we don't know who God is. What is the point of being here? I don't know if I'm a man or a woman. Well, guess what? God says if you're a man or a woman. God tells us. God is the one who sets the foundation for who we are. I would be floundering, wondering who I am if I didn't have an understanding of who I am in Christ. That's just fact. I don't have enough self-esteem in my life to know who I really am. I'd be wondering all the time, how did you get a girl that's as good looking as Robin? Did I manipulate her? Did I? Just kidding. But really, like, why anything? Why anything without God? But when we stop teaching that God created the heavens and the earth, and we started talking about us being an accident from some tiny little particle or organism. I can't get words out. I'm sorry. What's the word I'm looking for? Pla, 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 pla. No. What? It doesn't matter. Edit this. Just edit somebody else's voice saying the right things. When we started questioning whether or not we evolved from sludge, it's probably a better way to put it. Protoplasm. There we go. Thank you. That's where I was going with that. Man, when we decided that we just evolved out of nothing and there's no reason for it, that's messing us up. If I was just one mistake away from staying an ape, I don't have any purpose on this planet. Everything I do is for nothing. When I die, I go into dirt and it's darkness. What's the point in me being a good person? I better just live for myself, do what I want to do. If I've only got 80 years here, I better make it count. I'm going to do whatever I want to do to get mine. But see, when we know that Christ created us and that our eternity rests in heaven, these 80 years can be thrown away for our own glory and focusing on the glory of God, because I don't need these 80 years, I want eternity. I'm not fighting for these 80 years. You can have them. They're worthless to me outside of expanding the kingdom of God and drawing people into a relationship with Jesus, because my reward is in heaven and my reward will last for eternity. And if I'm wrong, then I go into the dirt and I see nothing, and it's exactly the same as if I were right, because I don't know any better. It's a gamble that I'm willing to take. It's not a gamble I'm willing to take on the other end of the spectrum. God created all of us with a clear purpose. He created everything around us to be governed by us. He gave us authority. He trusted us. See, when we don't know that God created us, we get animal rights activists that are more concerned about the life of whales than babies. You get people who put Save the Whales and pro-choice bumper stickers right next to each other. You get people that are so concerned about whether or not we tear down rainforests that they don't realize that there are people living homeless. Now I'm going to back up, because I love animals. As a matter of fact, Proverbs 12:10 says that a righteous man loves his pets, takes care of his animals, but the wicked are always cruel. God loves the animals. God loves the earth that he created. But we got to get our priorities straight. God isn't evil. God is good. When did we stop believing that God created this place? When? Another thing to make clear is there's absolutely no way for anyone on this earth to know factually what happened in the beginning. Let's just get that straight, okay? I'm talking fact. I'm talking observable evidence, proof. There's no way. Because we weren't there. None of us was there. Was anyone there? But through science, philosophy, and religion, we can speculate what happened. But since no one was there, it all becomes the theory of. Okay? For a believer, we got faith. Hebrews 11:3 says that by faith, we know how this world was created and how the universe was created. There is not a science major on this planet. There's not an evolutionist on this planet that can honestly say, I know how this earth was created. But as a believer, that's actually what faith is. There's comfort in knowing that I know. And I'm gambling, but I got nothing to lose. I have nothing to lose. I only have to gain. Guess what? There was one person that was there. It was the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the Spirit of God was hovering above the waters. The same Spirit that taught Moses what happened when he wrote it down. If you can't believe that God created this earth in 6 days, you can't believe anything on this planet. You certainly can't believe anything in the Bible. As a Christian, if you can't believe that God created the earth in 6 days, you certainly are not going to believe that a man survived 3 days in the belly of a fish. It's crazy. You're not going to believe that 4 guys went into a furnace and didn't burn and their clothes weren't even burned. It's insane. You're not going to believe anyone walked on water. You're certainly not going to believe that a guy raised himself from the dead of his own volition. This is foundations. This is one of the whole Bible. And if we can't go, I buy this, I believe this, then we're not going to believe any of the rest of it. And if we do, we're deceiving ourselves. We're fooling ourselves. We're making ourselves God because we say we could believe this, but we won't believe this. God gave me 3 things. Gave me 3 things that I want to ask you questions about, okay? If difficulty is based upon the agent performing a task, in other words, if I had a 50-pound weight right here, and Robin, my wife and I, if I said, Robin, pick up this 50-pound weight, you'd maybe pick it up. I don't know, maybe, right? It's a little heavier than Oliver, I guess, right? But I'd be able to pick it up a little bit easier. Is that fair to say? The difficulty of picking up this weight does not depend on the weight. It actually depends upon the agent performing the task. Okay? Does that make sense? I had to get us there, right? But if to God, picking up that weight is no different than picking up a piece of paper, difficulty is not an issue. God could have created the earth in 6 days. God could have created the earth in 6 million years. God could have created the earth in 6 seconds. The reason God took 6 days was to establish order in our lives so that we knew to live for 6 days and then rest on the seventh. It was all about establishing order. God didn't need 6 days. Difficulty is not an issue for him. The next one that he said is, am I a liar? Is God a liar? The Bible says that God is not a man that he would lie or change his mind. So if it's not too difficult for God to create the universe in 6 days, and he's not going to lie about it, those two are off the table. The third one is God a confusing God? I've asked a handful of people this question. Some said yes. Some said, well, Peter said that Paul was difficult to understand and cited some verse. No, he just didn't do English real great. Right? And Peter used more run-on sentences than anyone in the entire world. So, like, Peter had no right to tell anybody that Paul didn't communicate well. You're going to use a period, Peter. It helps. But the Bible tells us that God is a God of order. Even tells us that when we're using our gifts in the body of Christ, don't do it in a confusing manner. So let me ask you, if God is not confusing, would he say 6 days if he meant 6,000 years? Would he? Why would our loving God want to confuse us? Go to the original language, man. There's no question. It means day. It says there was evening and morning, first day. It didn't say there were 500 evenings and 500 mornings. He's not trying to confuse us. There's a point in the book of Peter, 1 Peter, where he's talking about the coming of Christ. And then in the middle of that, he talks about the creation of the earth. And he says, but remember, remember, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. But Peter is not good at English. And so he's talking about the second coming of Christ. He uses creation as an example, and then he pops back into the second coming of Christ. Move that section about creation out of there. Read it together. You're going to see the actual purpose of that scripture. Don't throw it away. Don't unhitch yourself from it. Put it back when you're done. But learning to diagram sentences and paragraphs and read with context, man, it'll change the way you read your Bible because there's a greater understanding of it. He's not saying that one day is like 1,000 days, 1,000 years. It's crazy. God didn't need that. Why would he do it? And if he needed it, why didn't he tell us he needed it? Because that would save us a whole lot of trouble right now. And God is not interested in making things difficult for us. Am I doing okay? Did God create the universe? Today, if you answer that question, people think you're nuts. I mean, God created the universe. I'm going to do something real quick. Bill, if I handed you this book, and I told you, man, read that book. And you thought, now, for those of you that can't see, this book has no cover. There's no indication of name of the book, author. If I said, man, read that book, it's a great book. And Bill came back to me and said, that was a great book. I really like the author. Who is it? And I said, what are you, stupid? There's no author. It's just a book. There's no author to the book. It's just a book. Look at it. It's got words. It's a book. What would you think of me? Would you ever believe that this book could ever just establish itself in words that make sense enough for Bill to go, that it was a great book, who wrote it? If there were no author to this book, and it just showed up out of nowhere, y'all would go, you are just crazy. No, of course somebody wrote it. Show me that picture real quick. Anyone know this painting? Beautiful painting of shoes, okay? I asked the guys, find me a really pretty painting. They like sepia tones. This is by Van Gogh. 3 pairs of shoes. But if you loved it, I mean, he was even creative in titling it. If you saw this without the explanation, you said, man, I really like that painting, and I want to get it for my house. Who painted it so I could find it? I went, what? Nobody painted it. It's just there. You'd think I was crazy. Now, look around this room. Find one thing in this room that exists without a creator. Let me save you trouble. Regardless of the room you're in, the city you're in, state, country, you're not going to find a single thing that exists on this planet without a creator. Anyone ever heard of Occam's razor? Does anyone know what that is? Do we have any studiers in this room? Occam's razor, all right? Occam's razor, I'm going to explain this to you in the simplest terms because there's a longer explanation. But Occam's razor says that when you remove all superfluous information, getting down to the basest of answers, the simplest of all answers to a question is probably the truth. Let me give you an example. If we woke up in the morning and it was wet outside, and I said, why is the ground wet? We could We could begin to speculate that maybe overnight the Gulf of Mexico rose. So much so that it expanded across all of Texas and it came up to North Texas and then it receded and went back into the Gulf and there, lo and behold, everything is wet. Occam's razor would say it rained. If my stomach started growling and I said, "What is this?" We could speculate that my stomach had evolved into some being that was grumbling and complaining, "Let me out of this fleshy cage that you've had me in for all of these years." But Occam's razor would tell me that I'm probably just hungry. This works for anything and everyone in science. Everyone wants to go to Occam's razor first. What's the simplest answer? Except that I look around the world and I find nothing that was made outside of creation by a person or a man or a woman. I can't find anything that just appeared. But somehow we go to this far off extreme that says everything was created but you, the most intricate, detailed thing on the planet. You weren't created. This was an accident. Only stupid people believe that there was a God. This was an accident. What? Is this making any sense to anyone? I don't know if it needed to make sense to anyone, but here's the thing. The church was designed to equip the saints to do ministry. It's the whole goal. So everyone in this room might believe that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, but you know what? Someday you're going to have to answer some questions. And the whole hope of this is that you hear the words that I'm saying right now and you go, "I know how to answer this." What was that? Occam's razor? Gillette makes that, right? So did God create the earth? Genesis 1:1. I'm here next week too, so if you don't like this, don't come back. But we're going to continue in the book of Genesis. I'm just going to get through whatever I can get through. And at 8:30, I'm going to say, "I love you guys, good night," and then I'll finish up the next week. But we're going to start here. That was an introduction. You're welcome. I'm having fun. I don't know if you are, but I'm having fun. And so Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Stop. Do you believe that the earth was old? Raise your hand if you believe that it was 4.5 billion years old, like scholars in science believe. It's okay if you do. This is fine. Raise your hand if you believe that. Don't feel like I'm going to come down on you. This is okay to answer yes. No old earthers? Yeah? One? Two? Okay. Raise your hand if you believe it's about 6 to 10,000 years old. Bible scholars believe that they could trace the genealogy back about 6 to 10,000 years. Raise your hand if you believe that. Raise your hand if you just don't know. I have no idea. Keep your hand. I don't care. I don't care is a good answer too. Before we even start, I want to give you a couple of answers. The answer to both of those is yes, because none of us were there. If you told me the earth was a 490 billion years old, it wouldn't change whether I believe God created it or not. However, radiocarbon dating, whether it's accurate or not, has told science it's 4.5 billion years old. Did God create Adam as a baby or a man? He created a mature man named Adam. That means God could have easily created a mature earth that could be 4.5 billion years old, although it hasn't existed for 4.5 billion years. As a matter of fact, if he didn't do that, then Adam and Eve would have been hanging around waiting for fruit to grow for a long time and died of starvation. So clearly, the earth was created in a state that could support life in all capacities. God didn't have to have 4.5 billion years to create something 4.5 billion years old. Does that make sense? We need to stop arguing this one because it actually doesn't matter at all. Where it starts to matter is where man comes in. But let me tell you one more thing. That might not matter either. Does it change your eternal destination? Because the Bible is not incredibly clear, although it's pretty clear. And we're going to talk about that for the next 20 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it is, and then again next week. I'm sorry I keep doing that in the microphone. I'm sorry. I'm not meaning to. In the beginning, God. The Bible assumes there is a God. The very first four words, the fourth one is God. As a matter of fact, what that does is it puts it in your lap and your plate to disprove God. It's your job. It doesn't tell you who he was, doesn't tell you who he is. All it tells you is that he is. Later on, we find out that he was and is to come, and we find out a whole lot about him. But at the very beginning, God saw fit to let the Bible assume there's a God. Proverbs says that only a fool says in his heart there is no God. Why? Look around. Find a better explanation. Man, if it were aliens and there was still a God, I'd be cool with that. Like, I would love to see some aliens. I'm okay with that. If aliens showed up tomorrow, it wouldn't change my mind as to whether or not there was a God. I would just go, he was creative enough to create that. Please don't kill us. Hebrews 11:3, I sort of alluded to it before, but I'm going to read it. It says, by faith we understand that the universe was created by God, by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Ex nihilo, which means out of nothing. It's a Latin phrase. This disproves the idea that two atoms were floating along in space and one day went poof, and everything was created. Because those are two created things. Everything here was created out of nothing. You ever create something out of nothing? Except maybe in an argument with your spouse. I don't believe that God created a hunk of mud and gases and then decided to form it. I have what might be a difficult... I have what might be a unique belief on what these verses mean, but I would ask you to allow me the opportunity to teach them. I'm going to tell you right at the front here, I believe that God created the universe in 6 days. Literal days. Don't ever question that in my teaching at all, okay? I'm not going to throw out any crazy evolution. I'm not going to throw out anything weird, but I want to talk through these particular verses and see if we can get somewhere with it, okay? So it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the earth. I believe that in that moment, God created everything that we're going to read about in the next chapter. Everything. Days 1 through 6. All of it was created in that moment. Why do I believe that? Because this is the preface for everything. You're going to find that over the next 3 days, God didn't create anything at all. God didn't create something on day one, day two, day three. And we're going to read it together, and hopefully that will make sense, right? The end of verse 2, it says, the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the earth. That was the Holy Spirit. It was the one that taught Moses how to write this down. It was the same Spirit that inspired the whole Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is God-breathed, all of it. But here's the thing. I'm just going to read it up there because I don't have it. Can we? Okay, so, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that there was light, and it was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. What did God create? Does it say anything up there about what he created? All he did was separate that which was already created. Everyone following that? Does that make sense? Okay, let's go on. God called the light day and the darkness he called night, and there was evening and there was morning the first day, literal day, 24 hours. And then God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven or sky. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. Let's stop right there. Did God create anything? He separated waters. He already created the waters. They were already there. The water above, the clouds. All the clouds of the sky. Waters below, oceans, rivers, sea, all of those things. Does that make sense? Let's move on. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God said that it was good. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation. Let me stop for 1 second. Did God create anything when he did that whole waters and land thing? No, right? See, there's two words for created, just so before we get there. Two words. One is bara, which is only God can create. Bara creation is only God. Then there's asa creation, which is, let me give you the examples. If I were to go to IKEA and buy a bed, when I got home, I would have to make that bed. I would have to put it together and create a bed. That is bara. But when I sleep in that bed and I wake up the next morning and it's messy, I then have to make the bed. That is asa. Making it is preparing it to be used. Bara is creating it out of nothing. What God did over the course of several days is prepare the earth to be used by mankind. By this explanation, and I'm not saying this is true, I'm just giving you an option. By this explanation, that first section where God created everything could be 4.5 billion years before day one of preparation for man actually happened. Could. I'm not saying that's true. I don't believe that. But you understand how the Bible is not incredibly clear about when that first day happened. It said he created everything. And then all of a sudden he starts to prepare it. He goes on, Pastor Bob, is this okay? All right. And he goes on, he says, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed and fruit trees bearing fruit, and which is in their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, and the third day. Did God create anything? All he did was speak to that which already was created and said, now do what you were created to do. He didn't make those trees. Those trees were already there. Now they're bearing fruit. Man needs fruit. Man needs vegetables. Man needed to eat. He is preparing the earth for man. This is a story about God, 100%. But it is the love story between God and man. And God is showing us through Moses' words at the beginning how he prepared this earth for us. Now, it's quiet in here, so I hope that doesn't mean y'all think I'm crazy right now. But as I'm studying this, I'm not seeing God making a whole lot of stuff yet. He already made it all at the beginning, and now he's saying, and here's what I'm going to do on each day. I'm separating stuff. I'm calling into fruition the things which I've already planted and made. There was evening and morning the third day. Now we get to where God makes something. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens. Hold on, I thought he already did that. Didn't he already do that somewhere? This is where people get caught up, confused. Well, there was already light. How was there light? There was no sun. How was there light if there was no sun? A lot of people say it was just the light of God. The Bible says that the new earth and the new Jerusalem will be lit without a sun. It'll be by the presence of Jesus. But let's continue here. Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from night. And let them be signs for the seasons and for days and for years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater one to rule the day and the lesser one to rule the night and have the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the universe, of the heavens, to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night. and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, morning, fourth day. I'm going to give you two options here. The word made or create that we find in here is also the word bara. God could be telling us what he already did. On the fourth day, he could say, this is what I did when I created it. Here's what I believe, personally. What I believe is that he is preparing the earth for mankind. If there were already plants and animals, they don't need a sun or a moon to tell what time it is. But man needed to establish seasons, days, and years. God wanted us to be able to see when the next day was coming around. He wanted us to know how many hours have passed. He wanted us to know these things. So he put two things in the sky to help us figure that out. The Bible talks about the sun and the moon and the seasons and the signs a lot in the Bible. He didn't need those things to create light and darkness. God is not bound by our stuff. That stuff could have already existed for those 4 days, could have already existed for 4.5 billion years. I will say I don't believe that one more time, just so that we could be clear, okay? But as Christians, let's not get caught up. Let's remember, I know Galileo wasn't a biblical scholar, but remember, he doesn't teach us how he made the heavens, he teaches us how to get to heaven. He said, I created the earth and heavens, but he doesn't tell us how that happened. We don't have any evidence that it just poof, everything was there all at once. If science is telling us that the universe is constantly expanding, who cares? Maybe that's how God created it. Is this okay? Are we all right? I don't know the answers to these things. And I don't think there is a teacher on this planet who does. I've listened to so many teachings on this particular portion of Scripture, and none of them completely reconcile one to another. My hope and my goal is that we stop getting confused because of the language that's used. When did God create this or that? He didn't create anything for 3 days. I believe, scientifically speaking, that the sun rises because of the rotation of the earth around the sun. I don't think the earth is flat. Sorry, or flat earthers. I don't believe that. But you know what I do believe? I believe that every day God says sunrise, sunset. Why? Because the Bible says that you, God, caused the sun to rise and the sun to set. And you caused the rain to rain on the just and the unjust. God is a God that is involved in our lives. God was able to stop the sun. Right or wrong, we believe it? Man, he told Hezekiah how long he was going to live by stopping the sun for 15 minutes. Did you know that? Hezekiah said, how much longer do I have? And God all of a sudden set the sundial back 15 minutes, sorry. 1 minute to represent each year that he had left. And then Joshua was getting ready. He was battling, man, and he needed to have sunlight to win this war. God stopped the sun for a day. Why? Because he's not bound by our stuff. He's not. He created the days. He created the years. He'll change them whenever he wants to. So what we're going to do is we're going to stop right there, day 4, because we're running out of time. And I don't want to keep you guys too late tonight. But see, God is not bound by science. Science is bound by him. Personally, I don't care what any science says, because God at any moment in time can decide he wants to change that. You got cancer? I don't care. I care. But I mean, God. Sorry, that sounded horrible. Oh, bring it back around. What I mean by that, of course you know what I mean, but I'm going to clarify. You got cancer, that's great. God is better than cancer. He's greater than cancer. He knows how to defeat cancer. You've got depression, blind eyes, deaf ears. Doesn't matter. God is not bound by those things. And the moment God speaks, if he could speak the earth into motion, and into existence, all it takes is one word from God to change your life. So next week, we're going to dig into days 5 and 6. We'll talk briefly about the 7th, because the 7th is actually just as important. It made the 10 commandments, right? We ignore the 7th a whole lot. We're excited about creation, but that whole resting thing, that's tough. So before we do anything, we got about 5 minutes left. Are there any questions to anything I said? Do I need to clarify anything that I said? Let this be the opportunity. Don't email me. I got 5 jobs at this church right now. I don't want email. Right? Any questions at all? Elder John, was that okay? Yeah? Yeah? You want to share? I kept looking at you. I thought you had something.
Charles Darwin was the one who came out with all these concepts and things. And in the book that he wrote, he had a chapter 6. And in chapter 6, he said, this is all real good, all the concepts that I came up with scientifically. But he said, he said that we have a problem with all the bones that they find, you know, the dinosaurs and things like that. And they wanted us to believe that the humans came out of apes and things, okay? He said, there is a problem because we haven't found any bones like that. He said, it's very important that they find that missing link between an ape and a person. And sure enough, they haven't. They found millions and millions of bones, but not anything like that. The other thing is that you were getting close to verse 21 in Genesis, and in that's when God says it was settled for him. There is no evolution, because he said that the birds and the other animals were made from the same thing. And there's nothing according to their own kind. So I'm probably getting ahead of you. But the idea that, you know, God said it didn't happen that way. You didn't have a lizard turn into a bird, turn into a cow, turn into a person. And so God says there is no such thing.
You know, we got issues with whether dinosaurs evolved, quote unquote, out of reptiles or birds. How about we stop being so short-minded, and maybe there was actually something else at some point other than just what we know today? Maybe there was some cool reptile-bird hybrid that we just know nothing about because they don't exist anymore. I think that'd be pretty cool, actually, and I want to make a movie about it. Let me read you one thing, because he talked about the origin of species. Let me read you the complete title, because y'all who've studied, I mean, you've heard about the origin of species, right? You know what the full title of Origin of Species is? It's The Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection or the Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. You know why we don't use that full thing? Because it sounds pretty racist to me. There are a lot of racist elements to evolution. We've decided to throw those out. Still in there. Evolution hasn't been proven true. By all accounts, Christianity and the belief of creation has not been proven true. Which gamble are you taking? This one makes a whole lot more sense to me. Everything has a creator, so I better have one as well. All right? Anything else before I pray? Anyone come here tonight with a dire prayer need, something that we could lift up to Jesus? It's okay. We have plenty of time for prayer. Anyone have anything they want to pray about? Maybe it's not dire. Maybe it's just something you really need. If it's $1 million, don't tell me. I'm just kidding. Yes, ma'am. I can't see you because there's no light. What's your name? Victoria. Okay. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Tell everyone your name if that's okay. Erica? Okay. I don't mean for this to sound like an AA meeting. I'm just trying to make sure I know names. I want to be able to pray, okay? Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Edward? Okay. Esther's Edward. Okay. We could do that. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Veronica? Oh, Mariah. I'm sorry. Okay. All right. Yes, ma'am. Good. I can't believe I forgot your names that quickly. Carrie and John. Carrie and John. All right. Anyone else? All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the work that you've started in each one of us. And your word says that you're faithful to finish the work that you've started. So God, I lift up Victoria right now. Did I get that right? Victoria in the back. God, I lift up Victoria. And I thank you, Lord, that she has the power of Jesus Christ living inside of her. And the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in her. And Lord, we ask you that you would stand firm in her life. God, your word says that we are supposed to pray that you would lead us from temptation. And so, God, we ask you right now that you'd lead her from temptation. We curse the plan of the enemy. We rebuke it in Jesus' name, and we declare that she will not fall back into the pit that you reached down and grabbed her out of. And so, Lord, I ask you to place a hedge of protection and a ring of fire around her that the enemy cannot penetrate. And God, I ask you for your mercies over her and your grace over her, and I thank you, Lord, that she walks in victory in Jesus' name. And I thank you that Carrie and John, as well as the rest of us in this room, would keep the faith. Your word tells us in Revelation that those who keep the faith will find heaven. And so, God, we want the perseverance of the saints. We want to keep the faith strong. And so, God, I speak over everyone in this room that we would not falter in our beliefs. God, that we would not lend ourselves to question things based upon what the world says or what the enemy says. But, God, we believe the report of Jesus Christ that says who we are. And, Lord, we stand firm knowing who we are. And God, I thank you for Mariah. I thank you for Edward. God, I lift them up right now in Jesus' name, and I declare they are yours. God, we call them into the kingdom right now, and we declare them whole and healthy. We declare them to be children of God, and we thank you that the kingdom will expand through them. And God, we stand in agreement with these two ladies, believing for these children. And we ask you, God, for their faith to be boldened toward you in Jesus' name. Erica, help me. Erica, there's Erica. Okay, court date. Thank you. Man, I'm usually better at prayer. I'm so sorry. I'm usually better at remembering these things. Thank you for helping, Chandra. Erica, we lift up Erica right now to you, God, as she deals with this court date. God, we know how difficult those days are. And so, Lord, I ask you that you'd give her the strength to see through. We ask you for favor in Jesus' name. We ask you that your Holy Spirit would have your will and your way in that situation. And God, we look forward to the testimony that's going to come from it. We believe, God, that you are in control and you're seated on the throne in heaven. And so, God, we ask you that you'd minister to her. God, give her peace over the whole thing. God, speak the shalom peace of God into her life right now that surpasses all understanding, that overwhelms, encompasses every area of her life. God, I thank you that she has joy that won't go away. God, I just speak good things over her as she deals with this situation. And I thank you for your life over her, God. And we thank you for your mercy in her life. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Did I miss anyone? This whole side of the room is great. You guys are all awesome. No prayer? Yes, ma'am. What is her name? Sherry? And is Dory? Okay, sorry. Man, it's so dark. We need lights. Chandra, can we get some lights in here? Lord, we lift up Sherry right now in Jesus' name. And God, we place her into your hands right now, and we declare her whole, healed, and well in Jesus' name. I thank you, God, that she walks in the perfection of her creation. I thank you, God, for blessing Dory as she brings this prayer request to you, God. And I just ask you that you'd work your hand in their lives, Father, to the glory of Jesus Christ. And God. thank you for moving in that situation in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Well, Lord, as we dismiss from this place, God, I ask you that you dismiss us from this place, but not your presence. God, I ask you to dispatch angels to watch over us, our family, and our stuff. In Jesus' name.